This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. As you slide on into the second half of the summer, the outdoor living and the nice weather, go ahead and take a deep breath for me. All that fresh air we've got, it wasn't always there. It comes to us thanks to a decades-long fight, a fight that involved industry and government and citizens demanding that the smog that once affected so many cities around this country be cleaned up. That fight led to the Clean Air Act and the Environmental Protection Agency, and it's a fight that 1.3 billion Chinese have just begun. As part of our series, We Used to Be China, Marketplace's Rob Schmitz has this story of Beijing's most recent battle against smog.
They say you don't know what you've got until it's gone. For the people of Beijing in 2008, it was air pollution. Huang Wei is director of Greenpeace's climate and energy program in Beijing.
Up until then, every day the sky was a shade of gray or cream. But in the countdown time to the Olympics, the sky suddenly turned blue. Many of us people of all ages would stop in the street and marvel at how wonderful it was.
How'd they do it? Beijing shut down factories, restricted traffic, and improved public transportation to make the Summer Games a blue sky Olympics.
The footprints in their history stretch back 5,000 years.
The NBC intro to the opening ceremony of the 2008 Olympics in Beijing asked a crucial question.
China is welcoming the world. Who will they be when this is over?
In terms of the air, the answer became clear after the closing ceremony. Beijing was right back where it started. As the blue sky disappeared behind the familiar veil of smog, the people of Beijing had learned a valuable lesson, says Zhang Jianyu, China Director for the Environmental Defense Fund.
The Olympic Games revealed to everyone, the government and the people, that in terms of solving our air pollution problem, it can be done.
But for the next 5 years, China's government let the pollution get worse. At the same time, the U.S. Embassy in Beijing installed an air monitor on its building and began broadcasting hourly levels of a range of pollutants. Greenpeace's Huang Wei.
Up to that point, China's government reported the air quality, but it wasn't very specific. If the pollution level reached a certain point, they might publish it as simply bad.
People in Beijing downloaded smartphone apps that recorded the U.S. Embassy's hourly air quality index, and everyone began to memorize what the numbers meant. 0 to 50 meant the air was good, rarely the case. An average air quality reading in Chinese cities hovers around 150, labeled unhealthy. But sometimes it climbs into the 300 to 500 range, prompting the government to urge people to stay inside.
Well, when it's 400, I don't ride my bike anymore.
Zhou Xizhou is director at IHS Energy in Beijing. In the winter of 2012-13, pollution levels went beyond the U.S. Embassy's own index, forcing airports to shut down because pilots couldn't see the runway. The international press dubbed it the airpocalypse.
There is the physical side. You feel it. I do feel it in my eyes. But then for a lot of people, it's also, I think, psychological. Just being in a gray, you know, polluted environment, you feel somewhat suppressed.
That winter in Beijing saw air quality index readings climbing towards 1,000. As a comparison, when the air quality in Paris hit 150 this year, the city instituted a driving ban and offered free public transportation. But there is good news, says Joe.
What's encouraging, I think, being in the energy sector the past couple of years is that we are seeing unprecedented actions and determination to address this issue.
Joe says China's way of addressing air pollution, though, is different from the American approach of the 1960s and 70s. That was the era of tough legislation and the formation of the Environmental Protection Agency. China's government prefers the mandate.
For example, just issuing a mandate saying that every coal-fired power station in Beijing will be gone by the year 2016. You can't do that in America.
China's top-down authoritarian regime may inspire hope that China could clean up its air with a few snaps of its leader's fingers. But in China, central power has limits. Local governments in China often disregard new mandates and laws handed down from Beijing because there's often no funding to implement them. Peking University's Xu Jintao explains.
China's local governments have no motivation at all to deal with environmental problems unless they make money. That's why I think a pollution tax would work. If some of that revenue goes to fund the local government, they'll quickly help solve this problem.
Using London as a model, Beijing has plans for a traffic congestion charge next year from drivers who enter the city. Xu says implementing these kinds of measures now, while China's consumer culture is still young, is important because it frames a new social mindset.
China's growth model is based on the idea that natural resources are free. We've never considered clean water, clean land, or clean air as scarce resources. But now in China, they are scarce. Nothing is free. When you go to the market, you won't find free cabbage. You need to pay for it. And now Chinese consumers will need to pay for clean air, land, and water.
But the Environmental Defense Fund's Zhang Jianyu isn't sure the Chinese will sacrifice the perks of being consumers just to save the environment.
Everyone in China now wants a car, and it's hard to deny them that. If China's 1.3 billion people live like Americans, planet Earth is finished. That's my biggest concern. How can you deprive the Chinese of their right to become consumers and live a modern lifestyle?
It's a path the U.S. has already traveled, polluting much of the world in the process. Now it's China's turn. If the U.S. and other developed countries don't help China clean up, says Zhang, the smog that plagued L.A. in the 1950s will return, except this time it'll be blowing from across the Pacific. In Beijing, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
We've got a timeline of air pollution from back when coal started fueling the Industrial Revolution to events in China today. It is, of course, at marketplace.org. Also, we'd appreciate it if you'd send us your pictures of your city's air, your blue sky, gray sky, smokestacks, whatever you got. Post them to Instagram with the hashtag MarketplaceSmogCheck.